Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot.
City.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. You can also find us on the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2. YouTube and Twitch for the kids, and you're lucky to find us at all this morning.
Yeah, it's one of those days. That's okay. We're here. We're
Dear
here, baby.
God.
It's an important Sunday. We this gotta be on.
This is where I love my Ducks, but I also curse my Ducks sometimes.
Well, these late night games, these 5 p.m. kicks on really big championship, like evenings, it kind of makes things a little tough for the morning.
Well, I cursed my Ducks this morning because just to pull back the curtain of radio, our show during football season, little program that two of you are listening to out at this out in your cars on this Sunday morning, bright and early. What's the over under? What are we putting out of people that are?
Oh,
listening
we love
right
you
now?
Three. Yeah. I'm saying over, and we love every single three.
You're
of
going
you.
Over 2.5.
But it's a close call.
But yeah, our start time is very much predicated on the Seattle Seahawks. But because the Oregon Ducks are now in Big Ten country, there is a lot more Sunday basketball games for the Oregon Ducks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have the nice Big Ten Pac-12 matchup of UCLA v. Oregon today. I will always mutter that under my breath, by the way. Anytime Oregon faces off against a former Pac-12 team like they are in the UCLA Bruins today, I'll be like, oh, nice Big Ten Pac-12 matchup. So,
well, we
like
had
that.
A Big Ten Pac-12 matchup earlier this week against USC with
yes,
Oregon Ducks
did.
And USC Trojans in basketball. But yeah, because the Seahawks, I mean, any other day that the Ducks aren't playing basketball on Sunday, we would be here starting at 9 a.m. But
damn
because
right.
We have Seahawks football and Oregon Ducks basketball, and we are obliged to play both of them. The Seahawks are going to be actually on 9:10 ESPN Portland today, and we are going to start, I believe it's Steelers-Browns at 10 a.m.
I think you are correct, and that is going to be a doozy of a game. Pretty excited to listen to that on the way home.
Can't wait for Jameis to throw for 700 combined passing yards between his own passing yards and interception return yards. Do you know that he set that record last week?
The
most combined passing yards between interception yards and passing yards. That, it now belongs to Jameis Winston, I think, at like 670-something yards.
That is a perfect record for Mr. Crab Legs. I can't take that low of a shot at him because he has come a long way since stealing those crab legs from the supermarket at Florida State. Seems to be somewhat more of a mature
and getting
dude
up
now.
On the table in the middle of the student union and, you know, telling them everybody to grab.
Don't grab
more crab legs.
Don't act like Jameis Winston, at least in college. But yeah, on the field, it's still kind of a crapshoot with him, man. Everybody thought that the Browns were surging near a playoff spot with him throwing for what, 4 tutties it was a couple of weeks ago, and now it's just as many interceptions. So I don't know. Pick your bag. Do you want Jameis or not? I'd say if I'm a Cleveland Brown fan, anybody but Deshaun Watson or Jameis Winston at this point would make me happier to watch on Sundays.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get that total number for the interception yards for the Browns because, again, I want to try and get whatever the total number of passing yards was for the Jameis Winston, the man of increase. And
the man of increase. I like that.
But, hey, we're here. We're hot. We're live. Hopefully Rashad is just, you know, even conscious. I mean, he might be dead ass asleep right now.
That's true. Hopefully he stumbles on it at 9.
Listen, I didn't even not know if I was going to be here up until last night. We're in the thick of tournament basketball play for my Newburgh Tigers now.
Yeah.
Sixth grade basketball team.
Hot action down in the, what do I call it? The Valley of the Valley of Oregon.
It's the Canby Cougar Classic, all right?
There we go.
It's basically like the Catalina Wine Mixer of youth basketball tournaments here in Oregon.
The Catalina Wine Mixer. Give me that into my veins.
It's the Canby Cougar Classic, okay?
I miss wine mixers.
I had that going yesterday, and that is the one thing that I am learning, too, is that, you know, the results of Saturday games determine what is to happen with Sunday games, what start times. We have 2 different teams for the youth, Newburgh youth basketball, 6th grade, and bless the little hearts of the other team, because Joey, thankfully, the team he's playing on today, they don't play until around like 3:40. I should probably check the schedule, Jordan.
Hey!
but the other team, they had to tip off at 7:30 this morning.
Oh, so that's what you were kind of in danger of maybe having to be there for. Which...
Yes. Was it a 7:30? Was it an 8 o'clock tip? Was it a 9 o'clock tip?
How do you get kids? I love playing basketball at the age of 12 or 13, but how do you get kids up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock on a Saturday or a Sunday?
Give them a little C4.
Apparently, because otherwise, good effing
Timmy,
luck.
You've never had an energy drink before in your life, but today you're starting. Yeah, that's tough. A 7:30 start time for dude. Even as a parent, I'd be like,
yeah, exactly.
For a tip off like that, we'd be waking up probably somewhere around like 5:45, 6 a.m.
Yeah, you got to wake up before the kid. Too.
Yeah, exactly. Get ready. I'm starting to play Enter Sandman at the loudest level possible on my soundbar and stereo system at home.
Zombie Nation, wake up, son!
Some Kerncraft. Let's go!
Get him fired up. You're going to score 30 this morning. Does the whole team score 30?
I was like, maybe collectively 30. I think we hit 30 a couple times yesterday. The team this morning, I got the final score update. It was an insane offensive battle with a final score of 30-21.
That's how it goes at that age. I'm not in no case or shape or here tooting my own horn, but there was a game where my team lost, but I scored all of our 14 points. I was like 12 or 13, but we lost by like 30.
Put the team on your back, though.
What team?
I was saying last night, because after my son's games, we went to girlfriend's friend's house. It was a cookie decorating and Christmas festivities and all that.
Yay.
And of course watching football.
And gingerbread houses.
Yes, gingerbread houses were partaken in as well.
Anybody make a Duck's gingerbread house?
No, I should have done that now that I think about it. Yeah. But we were there and I was talking to one of the dads and we're talking about, you know, youth basketball and the tournament and stuff like that, and I started floating out the idea. I was like, man, should I just start before every game just for myself, for the fun of it, come up with a spread and a point total for these games just for myself to have fun with? Like, all right, I'm going to set this point total for this game between Newberg 12U and what are they playing? I'm trying to think of a team they're playing today. Maybe Wilsonville or Canby 12U.
The Canby Cougars.
Let's set the over under at, let's go 60.5 total.
Don't say that out loud or the other dads would be like, dude, $5 on the over.
Exactly. It's like, let's put, what are we putting this spread at as well, right?
You'll start becoming a bookmaker. Yeah. And I'm sure there are secret bookmakers at children's sporting events around this country. Actually, I bet there's going to be a documentary about that at some point. The secret underworld of kids sports bookies, now on Netflix.
And then I was just thinking of the idea that at some point when something happens in the game, just yelling out today, like, well, there goes my parlay.
Like, where did he bet on this? What the hell, man? That guy's got a problem.
Offshore gambling. Bovada.
Yeah, Bovada taking the action on this. Yeah. What is it? The Canby Wine Mixer Tournament?
The Canby Cougar Classic. The three C's, baby. Yeah, we need a rally. We need a rally from the Newberg Tigers today. It was tough sledding in game one against Wilsonville. They came out ready to go. And then we played Ida B. Wells. That was a tough back and forth.
Ida B.
We need to get some W's today against Cascade and then some other team. I don't know. But Joey just needs to show up. Oh, we're playing McNary. The McNary fighting. Yeah.
I should know this. Are you a Celtics? I'm a South Salem High School Saxon. So the McNary. It's the McKay Celtics. The McNary fighting. No, you know what? I think McNary had to change their name. That's why I don't know.
Oh, was it one of those problematic ones?
Yeah. I think it's the fighting.
Illini.
No, it's the McNary Celtics. So it's the I was right.
Is South Salem or West Salem the one with the black turf?
That would be West Salem.
West Salem?
Yeah, South Salem has a nice newer turf field, but no, West Salem went black, and that's one of their colors. So
I was going to say that, I did a jamboree down there one day during high school where we did the kind of like a little 7-on-7.
Home of the Titans.
In August or something like that.
They got a nice facility. They host a lot.
Boy, I can imagine during the summertime, that turf is probably 20 to 30 degrees warmer than it actually is, than the temperature outside. Like, I can't imagine a black turf is cooling the team down. Maybe it's a reverse thing, that you make the the turf super dark, you make it black, and it actually is cooling and very relaxing to the players on the field.
I mean, you've been at the Odds and Turf when, like, it's game time or, like, right before or after game time on a hot day, and you feel just the, almost the cooking that, like, is happening on the field at that point, like, because the heat, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at my esteemed co-host.
Hey, Rashad, what is up? Right. Hey!
In a sweatsuit, sweatshirt, and sweatshorts. Sweatshorts, also a very underrated piece of garment. There.
I do miss. I do need to get some more pairs of sweatshorts. Well, we had to. We had an 8 a.m. call time, buddy. Rashad just said he started a show without me.
Looks delirious over here. Listen, I was just as delirious. I was lying in bed getting back scratches from the lady this morning. I thought we were all good. Life was good. Ready to go, and then I get the text. When you're getting back scratches from your lady, the last thing you want to text is from Jordan Schultz.
You don't want me involved in anything else
Who
in the bedroom.
Did it? That's what I want to know.
It's those damn ducks.
Damn duckies, buddy.
It's those damn
undefeated duckies, by the way, in a Big Ten Pac-12 matchup.
Don't make me hate
UCLA
a team that I love so much right now, because that was the... So I'm just taking my normal, you know, morning pregame, you know, so I'm getting ready to come...
What, sleep?
Well, no. Yeah, there's a, I like to get a little workout, nice little number two. Yeah, I try to get a small workout, a couple push-ups, some jumping jacks. I have to do much more.
You were working out this morning?
Yeah, man, I get a little, try to get a little 15 minute, not long, especially like before the show. Like, I'm not getting up at 7:30 to work out, but if I'm up at 8 o'clock, I can get, you know, 15
just
minutes.
Got the yoga mat laid out. And
yeah.
Actually, I have to go get a new yoga mat. I have, and we have hardwood floors, so it was a little more difficult to do some stuff this morning. Either way.
Look at you.
You know what I did last night, too? Joe typically sends out a nice little message to the team.
See, thank you.
Saying like, hey, guys, 9 a.m. show next week or 8 a.m. show or no show after this because of the Seahawks. I was like, okay. So last night I was just to make sure because there was a good chance Joe wasn't going to be here today. There's a good chance he was going to be with us. He was going to be with Joey as he was playing in a
We've been talking about the Canby Cougar Classic.
Yeah.
It's the Catalina Wine Mixer.
It's the Catalina Wine Mixer. The freaking Catalina Wine Mixer, man. And so I looked back just to see like, hey, there's no 8 a.m., 9 a.m. Cool. I just happened to be in the restroom and let me look through my messages. And sure enough, Jordan Schultz, 8:02. Hey, guys, the show starts at 8 a.m. today. What are you talking about? The show starts at 8 a.m. So luckily, I live close. I'm only about a 6-minute drive, you know, from here. So
well, and luckily, I was at the lady friend's house tonight, which is just on the east side there. You know, 10-15 minute drive. If I was in Newburgh this morning, I'd have been like, yeah, well,
Myron and Metcalf this morning is what you'd have been listening to.
Best of luck, boys. And then I'm throwing you under the bus to Swigart tomorrow. Like, hey, man, I don't know what happened. You know.
No, yeah. So sorry about that, folks. Sorry about that, guys.
Well, again, I blame the Ducks. Because
that's a good reason to blame. They're right now, I think the Ducks are going to get every pass in the world from anybody in Oregon and the Northwest.
But I was telling Jordan, I was like, because they because the Ducks rarely play basketball on Sundays. But now, because of this Big Ten move, I was looking at their schedule. They have within the next 2 months, I think like 5 Sunday games.
You know what?
Or something like that.
I think it's easy to forget the basketball moves, you know, with all the schools kind of moving, like, because football is king, obviously.
Oh yeah.
But it's really easy to forget about all the moves that were made in college basketball and the fact that now the Ducks are in the Big Ten and are going to play Michigan, you know, twice a year and stuff like that. Like, that's pretty big.
Yeah, I'm excited for like the Purdue's, the Indiana's to come through. I want to see them play Indiana. Like, I don't know if Indiana is coming to Autzen this year, but that's a matchup that I'm really looking forward to because Indiana, it's like they're the Hoosiers.
They're the Hoosiers.
I mean, come on now.
They're the Hoosiers.
Also, Illinois, you know, there's some fun Big Ten teams that they'll be playing in college basketball.
That's a lot of fun. That Big Ten tournament is going to be awesome this year.
Yes.
And I guess it is a good way to solve some of like the school issues going to classes with longer travel days between conferences now with the Pac-12 moving to the Big Ten or most of it anyways, and then the Big 12. Yeah, just put it on a Saturday or Sunday as opposed to a Thursday night as often, and they don't miss as much class. It really is a pretty easy solution here. So it sucks, but I get it. I
mean, so, and I'm looking at last year's Oregon Ducks basketball schedule. There were 2 games on Sunday last year.
So that, direct response to what happened.
In the entire Oregon Ducks season, whereas,
Look at Oregon, baby, on the map now.
Moving on.
Look at it. You know, and that's
to the Big Ten.
You know, that's such an awesome thing about going to the Big Ten or even Oregon winning the Big Ten. Like, because we don't have a professional team here in the state of Oregon, you know, the Oregon Ducks are the professional team for us, pretty much. They are the team that everybody, for the most part, support, unless you're wearing orange and black. Other than that, most people here in the state of Oregon are repping the Oregon Ducks. So for them to be undefeated, 13-0, heading into their bye for the tournament. Like,
well, hey, we don't know yet.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Let's hold off.
We'll find out in 13 minutes.
Yeah, let's hold off hope, but let's just assume, right, that they're going to be number one. God, what a season for these guys, man. Like, honestly, this is the most, and I've said this before on the show, this is the most confident I've been in this team ever.
Well, Rashad, the 9 a.m. is when they do the official bracket reveal for the college football playoffs. Mm-hmm. So let's take a little break. Let's talk about the championship game, the Big Ten championship game, the Ducks hoisting the trophy, the Big Ten championship trophy, for the first time in their school's history and for the first time since coming to the Big Ten, which was just this year. Let's get to all of it right now here on Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. All right, we are 10 minutes away here on 1080 The Fan and Football Sunday from finding out, just like you out there, what is going to be the college football playoff bracket, the first one of the expanded playoffs. But there is one thing we know for sure, and that is the Oregon Ducks will go in as the number one seed because they finish off not just the regular season, but conference play, the conference championship, undefeated 13-0 with a win against Penn State last night in Indianapolis. Just personally, it feels good. I mean, the last conference championship they had was 2020 in the Pac-12, which was the abbreviated COVID year. So, and it was very weird how the tiebreakers worked out with them and USC and Washington that year. And so, I mean, it just, you know, it was a conference championship, quote unquote, but it was just, it was weird. So the last time they had a full season conference title was the year before, 2019. And so going 5 years, essentially, between conference championships, and again, just can't be stated enough, going in your first season, winning the conference title in the Big Ten, after planting your flag and staking your claim early on during media days, you have a giant-ass duck floating down the river in Indianapolis, and then to run the table, go 13-0, and not only win every game in the Big Ten, you beat Ohio State, you beat Penn State, you beat Michigan, you beat every team that was in your way. I mean, those are the three most storied programs, essentially, in the Big Ten, and you beat them all. Mm-hmm. And as an Oregon Duck fan, as an Oregon alum, seeing them go and do this and showing the nation that we're ready for the Big Ten. We are more than capable of running this conference. Just couldn't be more proud of this team. Couldn't be more happy of the performance last night. Just hats off, Big Ten champs, the Oregon Ducks.
This was not just an Oregon middle finger to the rest of the country, but pretty much an Pac-12 middle finger to everybody else.
I mean, really, yesterday in general was a Pac-12. I mean, if you want to include
we'll
that,
get there. We're going to get to Oregon. Yeah. Arizona State, you know, as well. Shout out to them for doing their job in a new conference. But it's more than that. We forget he beat the guy that's going to win the Heisman later, you know, in a few weeks. More than likely, Ashton Gentry is going to be the person that walks away with that award. I mean, we could say Travis Hunter. You know, there's a good chance Hunter does it.
Very high betting favorite.
Yeah, he's a very high betting favorite. However, Ashton Gentry, I think for a lot of people, is the sentimental favorite because you see that he's been doing some record-breaking stuff this year. Like, really, he's going to go down as one of the best running backs, you know, in college over the last like 20 years, just based on the numbers and the stuff that he's been able to do. That's early in the season in a close game. Since then, the Ducks have been a hot knife through butter, through everybody. I really think that Boise State game was the last game they really struggled like that. Everything. Ohio State was, you know, a tough game.
The Wisconsin game as well.
Wisconsin, stuff like that. But I think there was some nerves in those games. Obviously, Ohio State came down to a field goal, you know, in the end. But that Boise State game against a real running back, against a guy that, you know, is going to probably go pretty high within the draft, within the first, you know, 15 to 20 picks or something like that. I'm looking at this team, and mind you, is Dylan Gabriel Marcus Mariota? No. Like, we're just going to go ahead and start there by saying that just look at his numbers and you can tell he's not Mariota. Outside of that, this team as a whole, top to bottom, offense, defense, defensive line, corners, receiver. This is the most complete Oregon team I think I've ever seen.
I mean, at least since like 2012.
But it's been like a long time. And really, even those teams, there are issues. Marcus had some fumbleitis issues where he just couldn't hang on to the ball. The offensive line just couldn't block against bigger, tougher opponents in most cases. Like against Ohio State, Oregon's going to the game. Or what was this, the Rose Bowl? This was some years ago. And Oregon goes in to win the national championship and just get tossed around by the defensive line. You know, they play against Auburn. And really, the Auburn tossed you around a little bit too. This is the first time you're seeing the Oregon Ducks offensive line bully people and just move guys out the way to make big holes for some of these running backs. And I'm just like, it's watching this, and me and my wife are watching, and she's like, they're scoring so fast. They're moving up the field so fast. It's like, yeah, they're not putting up 70 points like they used to, but these games feel more realistic and winnable, you know, every day that the Ducks are in these, man. So I'm looking at this team saying, man, I think this is the year. I mean, I'm not trying to jinx anything, and I wish I had some. I'm going to knock on the faux marble, but I'm looking at all the teams that this team that Oregon has had over the last, let's just say, 15 years since 2000 or 2020 or 2010. This team looks really, really good, and they look poised to make a big run in this this playoff.
Let me just really quickly say, as a Ducks fan, I am reveling in this Big Ten championship in the first season, and I am so stoked that I think finally they'll be able to turn the narrative and not be the team that's almost gotten there, almost gotten it done, you know, early 2010s against Auburn, losing by the field goal, against Ohio State, getting their ass absolutely handed to them. And that was after they scared the hell out of Urban Meyer. You all remember that press conference where he found out, like, oh, Oregon beat Florida State. What was it, like 59-20? And he's like Oregon won by 40? Ooh, I got to go prepare, like, you know, making that joke. Like, Oregon has just been like this formidable opponent, but not really taken seriously. 2019 season wasted with a Rose Bowl appearance only with Justin Herbert's senior year under Mario Cristobal. They could have gotten there, but they didn't, you know, because of a couple of losses, especially early in the season. One loss to Auburn really sticks out. But now they have the shot. So it's nice to thankfully, hopefully get past the almost and the not quite of the past and really be a true, you know, whether you want to call it new blood or blue blood in college football.
Yeah, it's crazy that this, and it happens every year, that the season has already come to this. Like, here we are now, playoff time, right? But just taking a look back at the ups and downs of this season, and also comparing to what we've seen in years past in the Pac-12, where it's self-cannibalization, where you're losing 1, 2, 3 games, 4 games, whatever the case may be. For them to just, again, step up into a new conference, answer the bell, and win every single game, and also rally from the start of the season, too. Like, it seems so long ago, but I mean, we are a couple months removed from the Idaho and Boise State games.
Mm-hmm.
And then for them to start clicking and start playing some of their best football throughout the season, and then even have the slight hiccup that ended up turning into a win against Wisconsin. I mean, there's so many things about this season where it could not have ended up like this. And they just rallied and persevered through. And to have them go 13-0. And again, get those wins against big opponents, big teams. I'm glad that they won, got to play Penn State in this game.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's just like, we'll take on every single one of you, and we will beat every single one of you. And they did exactly that. Just props to Dan Lanning, props to that entire team. And, Rashad, I mean, I hope it comes to fruition this year, and I hope the depth of this team, the talent of this team, shows itself, January 1st or December 31st, whenever that first playoff game is for them, because they are going to get the bye week, and it kills me. We were kind of talking about this last night, me and a buddy, the place I was at, is that the whole first round, they get a home playoff game, right? Mm-hmm. The seeds 5 through 8 get to host a playoff game. And there was a small contingency of people like, oh, man, well, wouldn't it be nice to host a playoff game? I'm like, I'm more of a fan of the path of least resistance, and that is playing one less football game, one less chance of players getting hurt, one less chance of something stupid happening.
Yeah, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, let me get a bye week, please.
I love that bye week. And the first game that Oregon will play, will it be at Autzen or will it be?
No.
No, it's a bowl game.
It is a bowl game. Yeah. It will be, and I'm pretty sure it's been locked in that they would play in the Rose Bowl on January 1st.
How? Come on, man.
If Ohio State beats Tennessee, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
A true Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that will be awesome.
But low-key, I mean, if that's the matchup, Tennessee, I know Rashad wants to see Tennessee win.
Oh, I would love to see Tennessee get boat raced by the Ducks. I think that would be awesome.
I want to see Ohio State get beaten again by Oregon. And they don't have their starting center anymore. He tore his ACL, I believe, so he's out for the year. So I think Oregon could beat up on him a little bit.
Well, there is part of me that it's like, I want this Ducks season to be like, we beat you, we beat you, we beat you. So I don't mind seeing a Tennessee victory over Ohio State and Oregon playing Tennessee in the game. That, I mean, that's what I want, but let's take a break because we are about to get the start of the playoff bracket being revealed, and hopefully we can come back. They will start doing that because, you know, they're going to do their filibustering on ESPN for a little bit beforehand as well. So we will take a break. We will start getting some playoff bracket results here, 1 through 12, and we will react right here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.